Look at your neighbor, say the devil is a liar. It's one of them songs you're gonna ride down the street in the summer. You're gonna open the sunroof and roll your windows down so you can raise up this song. I want you to go home singing it tonight. Listen. Say the devil is a liar.
Say the devil is a liar.
What the Lord has for me. Say the devil is a liar.
Say the devil is a liar.
And the truth made me free. The devil is a lie. Say,
the devil is a lie.
Y'all say, what the Lord has is for me.
Jesus this morning. Welcome, family, to Real Talk with Pastor E, live here from the Now Network studios. And yes, this is the time that we come for a variety of real talk discussions, dynamic principles based on real life situations, but on solutions from the Word of God on how we can grow, how we can glow in Jesus and worship Him with extravagant respect. Yes, family, we are fully devoted to Jesus. We believe that the door of salvation is always open to those in search of the truth. And with open arms, our ministry demonstrates God's love and concern for our fellow man at every given opportunity. Through words of charity and by actions in love, we feel that we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, and we will. That's a promise. We will reach the lost and unsaved. Welcome to Real Talk with Pastor E. This is a benchmark broadcast. We've talked about this subject that we're going to be bringing up here, and this is the time that we're going to keep it real. We don't know how long this series may go, but we're going to allow God to grow this, because I know there's people that aren't going to show up today that are going to say they wish they would have been here. I know there's voices that are going to want to speak out, and they'll say, why did I miss that? We're going to make another opportunity after myself and Minister Carolyn kind of judge how this broadcast went here and the response we get from everyone else. Now, in our first disclaimer, we are here to heal. We are here to find solutions on how to be healed. We're not here for vindication or anything that would cause hate pain. We want to shower love on this broadcast, and the things you hear, some of the stories you experience, some of our own testimonies that will come out are only for one reason: to expose the hidden, to recognize things that are maybe right next door. That's the name of this broadcast today: domestic violence right next door. And we look at so many statistics in our country, and we see that most people call or would define domestic violence as someone, a partner or an intimate partner. But we're learning that domestic violence comes from when the home, the parents, through siblings, through friends, through niece, uncles. It can happen anywhere. We have to, first of all, know how to expose it and get help with it by being educated at it. And we have to know that there are so many categories. We're going to talk about a lot of categories today that most say, well, that's not. Yes, we are going to really fine tune how we have to really look deeper right next door. And right next door might be in your own house. It could be current or former spouses, boyfriends and girlfriends, just a one-time date, sexual partners. There's so many different areas that we could get affected here, and we can be abusers and not even know it. We can be doing certain things thinking that we have the vindication to talk to someone bad or to verbally assault someone, even though they may have physically assaulted you or monetarily assaulted you or just verbally assaulted you too. See, two wrongs don't make a right. And we're going to have to look into these things, how I act. How am I going to allow myself from this day forward, December 2nd, 2018, as we're preparing for the crossover? These are things that we need to be clean about. We need to be repenting about, so we can go over to the other side of the season 2018 with new purpose, new drive, new love, new obligation to find our purpose in this life. We have a dynamic guest host. We're going to call her our guest host for this series. She's one of our covenant partners here at the Now Network through P2P Ministries. I want to present to some and present to others, produce, present to some, Pastor E lost a word. I just want to welcome and present to everyone here, not the first time, but for co-hosting this with me, Minister Carolyn Hamilton. She is with and a very strong part of Sisters Against Gang Violence here in the Southern California area, but as God is expanding her territories, we're seeing God do some things in other states already. So welcome to the broadcast this morning, Minister Carolyn. How are you?
Praise the Lord. Good morning, Pastor E. How are you?
I am blessed. You don't have me on speaker, do you?
I did.
Yeah. Can you take? Okay. I can hear it's bouncing in the background. And we want our listeners to be able to hear all of our discussion this morning. Amen.
Amen.
I know. Hey, man, we gonna. I'm gonna send. You know what? I saw an extra pair of headphones. I'm gonna put them in my car for when I see you on the 9th, and you're gonna be. I'm gonna take care of that. But good morning. Come on, give a shout out and a greeting to all of our listeners this morning.
Good morning, everyone. This is a blessed day for me. This topic is real strong and it's heavy on my heart. A young lady got murdered that I was very close to, and I felt that there could have been more that I could do. However, I didn't, and she's gone home to be with the Lord, but Pastor E and I are trying to help anyone that are going that is going through a hard time right now. And that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here to talk about.
Hey, man, I'm glad you brought something up. That's thank you, Holy Spirit. That's why I don't do scripted shows. We are not our will. We are out the way, and we want to hear clearly from God. But you said something. First of all, I want to let you know that because you've already asked for forgiveness, you're released, and you should not hold yourself accountable that you didn't, okay, because now you're going to do it, and God forgives you. And there may be someone else out there that says, you know what, I saw that coming. I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything. You can change that. Do not get in a spirit of bondage today. Do not let anything you hear today, we're praying as I'm speaking right now, don't let anything come on anyone listening under by the internet, here live or through any other means of communication. Take these opportunities in the name of Jesus to grow and say, I will never do that again. I won't go back. Come on, let's draw a line of no return. I will not look the other way. I will not say something. I will not intervene. Let's draw the line today as we begin this journey to stop, to cure, and to be delivered of domestic violence. We draw a line right now in the mighty name of Jesus of the we won't do anymore. We will not speak out. We will not let it go. We will get out. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. I feel an anointing going right there about the I will get out, male and female. You better know when it's time to pack you and your children up and go. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your anointing on this broadcast today. Thank you for your spirit to be abound and to be moving right now on our behalf, because we thank you and we expect a move of your spirit today. Have your way in this broadcast. Let our own thoughts, agendas, and wants, needs, and hurts and pains be taken out of the arena, that, Lord, you can speak clearly through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Oh, somebody was released today for not saying something, but that's pretty dynamic. I was guilty of a friend seeing something and just looked the other way. Oh, it's the homie. I don't know what they're going through. How many excuses could I throw out there of like, I ain't getting in their business. That ain't my business. That ain't my problem. You know what? I had to get on my face when did we talk about this? Last Tuesday. And I just had to repent and cry out, because it's not something recent, but I'm saying from all the times of my past that I just looked the other way. I had to be forgiven for that. And I want to be transparent here that I didn't do enough, and I could have said something, and I should have stopped that. And I should have pulled his coattail and said, bro, that ain't how we do things. But thank God has forgiven me for that. Amen. So someone close to you, and we're going to get to that, but that wasn't the start of domestic violence in your life, was it?
No. I was raised in a home where my mom and dad used to yell and holler at each other, and they loved each other. I mean, to me, I grew up thinking that that was normal. You know, that's just them cussing out each other out, and they'll be fine tomorrow. You know, so when I grew older, I became the person that my father was. And to get my point across to people, I would holler and yell and scream. It's like there was no calm tone at all to get your point across. You yelled, hollered, and screamed. And then I got married. I've been married too many times. Same man, different names. But the first husband was really abusive to the point where I had been knocked unconscious. My thing, we were at that time both gang members, and he slapped me one time in front of everybody, and I felt like, you can't do me like that. I'm above. So I hit him back.
And he knocked me out in front of everybody on the corner. I had busted eyes, busted lips. I went through extremely a lot. And with that relationship, how I got out of it is I used to run in the room and shut the door to try to get away from him. And he would kick the door or whatever. But this particular day, I didn't close the door. So you would think he would think about it. And I got his gun and shot at him. And I honestly haven't seen or heard of it from the guy since then. But that was the beginning of my abuse. And all the other relationships, I may take half the credit, but sometimes I started it. So just since we had the conversation last week, that meant that I was a victim. And possibly, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, I became a batterer. Because sometimes my words, it would cut you till you wanted to die or something. But I slapped somebody first before they even touched me. So that meant that I became that person too. So, yes, all the guys jumped me and they beat, but sometimes I initiated it. So that's part of my story. And so
I just want to help
others. Sometimes when you're in a relationship, it's hard. I've learned now that if the communication is not right and God is not in the middle of it, it's not cool. That would be the walk away point now. If they don't have Jesus, they don't have me.
Well, come on now. I want to hit this part because there are some young ladies out there that because the hood mentality, okay, because I was in the hood on the corners and seeing this, the same description of what you said happened, I've seen it a million times in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
But the police were never called. Nobody was ever told because of that down. We don't call the police. We don't tell on each other. We don't snitch. That's the word. A lot of things out there are hidden and because you want to stay in that lifestyle and you don't want to be looked at as somebody weak. I want to speak to a young lady or a young man out there today that's being abused in a gang environment, in a hood environment, that you do not have to be subject to that lifestyle. Do not get accustomed to anyone abusing you, but stand up for yourself and move away. I had to say that because there's still a lot of young people out there that get hooked up because that's all they know is hood life. But then in the hood, there's certain lifestyles that are available in the hood, and people get accustomed to them things. Those are the things that I'm really proud of you in Sisters Against Gang Violence, because it's just not about shooting and killing. It's about the violence that's within gangs and within relationships of gangs that we have to speak louder about.
Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. I thought you would have been bouncing right off. No, but I'll even say I'm guilty of both victim and abuser myself. Not to get into detail, but I've been abused and probably because I allowed it, you know, and being the mindset, I could take it. Nothing you could do to get hurt me. Go ahead, you know. But that was still abuse, verbal abuse. Whew, Lord Jesus, I am guilty as charged. I repent every day. Lord, forgive me. Don't let my mouth get to talking. Take me out of it, because words are power, and they either give life or death. And people have to know that that's a form of abuse too. Financial. Abuse. You can abuse somebody financially in a household that you may be the only breadwinner, female or male, and you abuse someone because of that power. There's so many forms of abuse that we're going to be really getting into here through this series. But as you just shared, and as I shared, being an abuser and a victim, there is healing available. There is opportunity to grow and to be healed from abuse. Minister Carolyn, so now you've found a purpose in life, and that was Jesus. And then in that, now you have taken the energy or the negative energy and turn it into something positive. What are you doing? What did you do at the next step? Did you just stay angry, or did you try to work on yourself first and then try to find means to help others?
Hello.
Yeah, did you hear me?
Yeah, the end part, we kind of broke up for a second. What was the question, Pastor?
I was saying that, you know, after you had found the Lord and got and now find a new purpose, haven't you done some things to really get educated about what we're talking about, domestic violence? Go ahead and shout the credentials out there, because we want to know that we are really educated at what we're saying.
First, I went to I had to get off. I'm also a recovering addict, so I started there because that caused a lot of problems. And then I got trained under the leadership of Commander Akil Bashir, doing gang violence, hardcore gang intervention specialist. I done that and I graduated. And then I had a friend that was in a domestic violence dispute. And my way of handling things then, because I came from the street, was to initially go help her. But then I went back. I have a very, very special friend that in my drug addiction, she got saved. And she started going to a church. And she told me she needed me to go. And I didn't want to go because I was too busy getting loaded. And she came to my house. I would dodge her. I would leave her. And so one day she caught up with me at my father's house. And she was like, the pastor really wanted to speak to me. And she got me there. And when I got in there, the lady looked at me. And she told me all about myself. And she said, Nadine didn't tell me anything. And so that friend's name is Nadine. So I started going to church. And then once the renewing of my mind started going, I knew that I wanted to help other women. During that time that I began going to church, I was married again, and we fought and hit each other. And then after we divorced or separated, I went back and I got training. I went to 77th Police Station, and my instructor actually started the United Peacekeepers. She was a sergeant for the police department, and her husband was a police, and he was very abusive and used to beat her. And she started the program. So I went there for maybe 6 months, and that's where I got my credentials. And we also done ride-alongs with the police. Domestic calls come through. We would either get in the back seat with them, or we would drive our own vehicles to meet, and if we have to get the women in and out the house.
Right.
So that's basically how I got started and how everything, but everything like fell in place. It wasn't until I started getting the word in me. And that part, like today, I'm like growing more and more. I'm seeing more and being able to do more. And that's what blesses me, helping other people. I just love it. And especially going back to get these women that are on the street. At one point, I was going on Figueroa, and the guys were, you know, they would say stuff to you when you try to get those girls, and I would be like, y'all need to be off the street, and that, because you're messing with their money.
That's
and
right.
And to me, that was abuse, too. So that's how I'm starting. I just thank the Lord, and when he says move, I move just like that.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, there's been some dynamic things happening over the last couple of weeks. We want to kind of tap into that right now. A friend of yours was murdered, and unfortunately, you weren't able to be there. But fortunately, you've been able to open some doors and to get the conversation started. We are so grateful, and we're asking everyone out there that you may know somebody that needs to be on this broadcast. And please share 319-527-6173. If you're listening through the internet and you want to interact and want to ask questions or comment, you have to dial in from the internet. You can only hear the broadcast. You cannot interact. But if you call 319-527-6173, you can come in and let your voice be heard on Real Talk with Pastor E. So tell us what happened. I know the story, but I know it from you. I'd rather you let our listeners kind of get an experience of what you had to go through.
I had a young lady. I began working with her husband. He was a gang member. He was in prison, and he came home, and I was trying to get him to work, like just being a mentor, a big homegirl to him. And she used to see him talk to me all the time on the phone, so I guess he jumped on her or something went on, and she called me. And I began talking to her, and I'm like, put him out, you leave. I done what I could from where I was. I would stay on the phone with her for hours at a time. And, you know, there were avenues where she would leave and she would take him back. Then it got to the point where girls would jump on her about she was pregnant. And I did tell her, you need to talk to your mom or somebody that's there. So 2 weeks ago, I believe it 2 weeks ago today, she went back to the house, I believe, to pick up some things, and the guy came home, and he started acting crazy, and from my understanding, she called one of her sons. So they argued, and I guess the argument, it ended up turning deadly because he shot her, and her son ran to help his mom, and he shot and killed him, too. And I felt at that time that I was a failure, like something is not right here, because I tried to work with Real with the gang intervention, and he ended up on drugs and gang banging and doing what he was. And then I tried to help her, like, get away, and, you know, nothing became good of the situation. So then I felt like I was wrong, and then I took it to another level because I got on there. You know, everybody was like, you're okay, don't do this, and don't beat yourself up. But then the aunt came in, and she's like, why did you put this post up here now? You want people to feel sorry for you, and da-da-da. And so I told her, she was like, you could have done more, you could have reached out. Well, she didn't know the depths of our conversation. She didn't right. know that I did try to get help. But what I did, I apologized to her, and she felt that way. I really wanted to. A couple of times I almost twisted it and went there with her. But I told her as good as I could.
Greater is he that is in me. Oh, Jesus.
Yes. And I just told her that, you know, I'm going to pray for you that God hardens not your heart and have a blessed night, because she was going on. And I said, look, I can't do this. So the Holy Spirit told me stand down. I stood down. And that kind of was hard for me. But I did tell her I would come to Virginia and give her the opportunity to see me in my face, because I wanted to explain to her, her family. So I tried to reach out only the grandmother, the son. So that's when I knew, you know, instead of laying down, bending and folding, how Satan wanted me to do, it was time to pick up. I didn't save her. I couldn't save her. Only God could do that. But I knew my mission was to help other people. So by her aunt doing what she did, it only made me rise up. So that's why we're here today. Prayerfully, more people will come forward. My phone is open 24/7. It doesn't matter how old you are. I'll call, you know. We need, and the next morning after the post, I get like 8 inboxes on Facebook from women in Virginia and other states sending me pictures of them with black eyes and busted lips. And one lady is like, so, Miss Carolyn, we need you here. And if I could pick up, jump up, and run, I would. But if you're in another state, I just can't do it. But I could make help. I could send help. We could get them help. But the thing is about them opening up and speaking. We need them to speak, so we could help.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Well, I do want to say that we can help in that area, because our 37 states, guaranteed, I know somebody in that state that can refer someone locally to where they live. So we already have accomplished over half of the United States. Okay, so I already have that written down. I can connect people. Okay, we want to open up the P2P hotline to that abuse awareness. And that's for anything you need to talk, prayer. You can call 562-413-3710 24 hours a day. If there's not a live answer, you'll get a live call back. P2P hotline, 562-413-3710. Again, 562-413-3710. You can email us at info, at the Now Radio, the number four, one letter U, .com. The Now Radio for You, .com. You can send an email there too. Minister Carol, I don't know if you want to share your hotline number at this point, that someone can write that down, share it with somebody that they know that can get in touch with us. And if you want your voice to be heard on our next episode next Saturday, call that number or get in touch with myself or Minister Carolyn, and we will get with you this week on Monday or Tuesday to get you involved in this discussion.
Yes, Pastor, if anyone wants to call me, my number is area code 323-830-2161. That's 323-830-2161.
Amen, amen. And we'll get them numbers out to you again before the end of this broadcast. Okay, so we want to take it to the next level. I know you have a couple of young ladies that you've invited on the broadcast. And if there's anyone that's listening that would like to speak out right now, we're going to open the lines and open the discussion that we can hear, or your story or your victory, your glory, whatever it is that you'd like to share. We want to get that out. What was I know you did you text me those numbers? I didn't even look at my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Let me get my phone. There it is. All right. No, I don't see either one of them, but area code 470, last 40434, you're live on Real Talk with Pastor E and Minister Carolyn. Good morning or good afternoon.
Good afternoon. God bless you, Pastor.
What's up? Hey, man of God.
God bless you, sir. This is your friend out here in Atlanta, Georgia.
I know the voice.
Woods.
I know that's my brother. That ain't my friend. That's my brother.
Your brother.
That's my brother from the other side.
Amen. And this topic that you and Ms. Carolyn is talking about is a very wonderful topic, but it's also a topic that needs to be talked about. I'm a son of a victim of domestic violence and grew up with it pretty much all my life. And I thank God, glory to God, because most kids who are victims of domestic violence become a violent person.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God that he girded me in a different path, that I was never the victim, or not the victim, but the one who actually demonstrated the violence on any person. And I remember growing up, you know, being tossed down nine flights of stairs and picking my mom up off of bloody floors and putting ice packs on her eyes because of the bruises on her eyes. And I've seen it all. And I thank God that I've never been the one to put my hands on a woman or any man or do any kind of violence from that. I've always told the Lord, I said, you know, if you ever get me to the point where I'm a little bit older, that I never have the remembrance of or the effects of this violence that I've seen. I wish that most women, when they're in this thing, that they would just get out. I remember talking to my mom after years passing, after I got her out of the situation. Yes, I got her out of that situation. I got a little older, and
yes.
I even told the abuser, my stepdad, I told him, I said, when I get older, I told him as I was 9 years old, I said, when I get a little bit bigger, you will never put your hands on my mama again. You would never put your hands on my mama again. And I remember the last episode, I was away in college. Matter of fact, I had to walk away from a scholarship, football scholarship, because I could not deal with the fact that my mom calling me and couldn't even concentrate on football, couldn't concentrate on schooling, that my mom would be in the background moaning and groaning because of the pain and the aches she just suffered through domestic violence. So I remember coming home, football player, got real big, brother. Let me tell you, I got real stock. Come home, my brother called me, man, you got to get to the house, got to get to the house. I got to the house. I seen my mom on the floor. Something in me just snapped. I remember going to his bedroom, me and my other brother. Man, I think after we finished with him, we broke his arm. We broke a couple of fingers. We bruised his skull. We really beat him up bad. And I got my mom out of this. But after years of going, after years passed, I remember asking my mom, Mama, why did you stay? And this is one of the things that most women, you need to just really analyze this. I said, Mama, why did you stay? Her answer to me, Pastor E, was, I stayed because of y'all kids. I said, what do you mean? She said, because I didn't have nowhere else to go.
And that's
a lot of women who are in these positions. They don't have nowhere else to go. And then not only that, the spirit of rejection draws them closer to the abuse because they think that it's love. It's not love. It's no forms of love. If you love me, you put your hands on me. The devil is a liar.
A liar. That's right. That's right. But
so
how many?
Please,
but how
women.
Many women stay? I know, and I'm because I'm gonna hit this, and I know you're gonna go right off of this. But how many women stayed because of the children and the security or the bondage that a lot of women were in, especially when we were kids, that the father was the breadwinner and the provider, and you did this and this, and that's all they stayed in it because of those reasons. And women, you shouldn't stay there for any reason. I know it's hard. There's nowhere to go. We need to be more, I think, nationwide. We need to be more in a working in that area. We can't start talking about this unless we're going to provide some services to help and get out. So calling them that hotline number and listening to the rest of these discussions, we want you to be aware. Go ahead, man of God.
You know, and that's so true.
No, go ahead, Carolyn. We're come on, we're bouncing. Go ahead.
Okay. Was the gentleman through?
What's that again?
Was the man the gentleman that was talking to me through?
This is Apostle Dwayne.
Oh, Apostle Dwayne. Okay, Pastor E, I have a young lady that's a gang member, and she was abused. She didn't know the number to call in, but she knew we were doing the show, and she's on the phone right now. I believe she's at the doctor because of a domestic abuse, a domestic situation that happened with her hand. Her hand was split open. So she's on my line. I merged her. So
okay.
Serena?
Okay.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
Pastor E is on the line to the network.
Hello. Good morning.
How are you, young lady?
I'm okay.
So you're at the hospital right now? Is this just a re-injury, or you just got hurt?
I mean, it happened. It's not really so much domestic, but, you know, I was fighting, and I got my hand split open, and I had to go to the hospital and get surgery done. Well,
so, Karima, can you tell them a little bit about your struggles with the gang members and your incident with Callion and before him Rock, and just give them a little bit about what you had to go through and what you went through with the young guys that you were dating that was gang affiliated, so we'll know how it is being a gang member, a girl gang member, and dating another gang member, and how serious that gets, and how other people could get involved. Just share a little bit.
All right, I don't want to be really quick because I'm really like at the doctor, but I don't really like saying too many names or whatever. But I mean, it gets rough over here on the East Coast. You feel me? Because some females are not looked as equal as to men. You know, we go through different things. You know what I mean? We pretty much looked at as like an object. And if we, you know, getting down the way the men want us to get down, then, you know, either we are put off or we just nobody. you know, or, you know, we getting put out there to be prostituting, or if you ain't fighting right or saying something right, it's always, you know, we getting abused, we get hit on or whatever, or they turn their back on us and stuff. So that ain't no family for real. You know, I've been through my share. I've been choked on or whatever, and that was like in and outside of the game. You know, people make promises they can't keep. They tell you, you know, we love you, we're going to take care of you. But, you know how you had siblings or whatever, and y'all fight or whatnot, and your siblings are going to always forgive you. But these people go here, y'all go through a fight or whatever, they ain't no forgiving. They want to come to us.
I'm doing good, sir. Love you, too.
Say that?
No, keep talking.
Okay, we're still here. We're still here.
But I mean, that's just how it get down. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I'm not gonna throw people under the bus or whatever. And you know, it's just certain things.
No,
that,
you don't have to say things. We're just directly talking about you. And
we just want to hear your heart.
You know?
And let you know, first of all, you're not alone. That's what was put in my spirit, just to tell you today. We want to reach out to you and get and be able to talk with you offline, that we can have one of myself or one of our team members and Minister Carolyn really talk with you and see how we can be effective in changing your life. I believe no matter where I am and no matter where you are, God can still move if we just work together and support one another. So I want to open up the support for you and say, hey, you, here's somebody that will listen and give you the best advice possible to do better in life and get out of those situations. But let me say one thing. I just have to say this. When it has to deal with you, you have to get out of the mentality of throwing people under the bus, because you're under the bus. You cannot be under the bus getting ran over, and you're still doing everything to excel other people to drive the bus. You have to make the decision that now from this point on, I'm not going to get ran over no more. And if I'm not driving the bus, I'm not getting under the bus or under the bus, because I deserve better, and I'm going to make sure I get better. And I know it's hard right away because of, like you said, people make promises, people offer certain things, and then when you look at it, that's not what they, you know, they don't do what they say, they don't follow through, and then you're still hurt. I'm saying that as we start to work together, get from under the bus, and we're going to help you get from under the bus and stay from under the bus. Heavenly Father God, I thank you for this young lady. I thank you even at the hospital right now that you're touching her heart. I pray right now by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're moving in the hospital through the nurses. There's going to be a different attitude surfacing right now because of this prayer. Lord, we thank you're going to heal her. We thank you're going to deliver her, and we thank you're going to give her peace of mind. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please get in touch with me. Minister Carolyn, hook us up, and we want to help.
Okay.
Amen. Now, before you hang up, Paul, I want to bring Prophet Dwayne back on. I know he's doing some multitasking.
Amen.
That if he had anything, he would love to share right now. And I know she's at the hospital, so we don't want to keep her too long, but just a couple of words.
Yeah. You know, young woman, I would just like to just reiterate what Pastor E just said. You know, get yourself in a position that, you know, you don't have to.
I'm going
to
be real. I'm going to put you on mute and hear you. And I got someone coming in.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. You know, I just wanted to tell her to please, you know, reach out to Miss Carolyn and Pastor E to get the help that you can possibly need. And then also, you can be an advocate, you know, someone to now go and help other women get out of the situation that they're in, you know, because being from the Midwest Chicago area, ran with the gangs as well, you know, I had to make a decision, Pastor E. I don't want to be this way any longer. I don't want to get into this situation any longer. So, you know, young lady, please, make the decision to say, look, you know, I don't want this for myself. I don't want this for the kids that's coming behind me, you know, and I want the help. And I promise you, I don't know too much about Miss Carolyn, but just listening to her and then listening to some of the things that she's doing, I promise you this woman will help you. I promise you
that's right.
she would help you.
Yeah.
You know, just listening to her story and how she went through. All I'm saying, woman of God, you know, and I'm calling you a woman of God because even though you are in the game, you're still God's child. You're
That's
still
right.
a Amen. Child of God. Amen. You're still a child of God. So please, seek out the help. Devise a plan to say, I got to get out of this. I got to get out of this situation. And I know it's rough on the East Coast, but the East Coast ain't no different from the West Coast and also the North Coast. It's all in the same thing. And gangs don't love you. They don't love you. They say that they love you, but as soon as you do something different or contrary to their way of life, you're now ostracized. So please, seek some help.
That right there is so true. It's so true because I had a friend that I used to be gang affiliated with, and she was my best friend, like my sister. Even when my father died, you know, she was there with me, and I got along better with her than my own siblings. And I'm like 53 years old right now, and her car just got repossessed. She swear up and down because we weren't speaking that I told the people where the car is, and she's calling me like I'm gonna beat the brakes off you. I'm like 53 years old, and you supposed to be my sister, and I just let her know. I mean, today now I could say it. Before I'd have been like, where you at? But I'm like, I'm a woman of God. Do you know if you swing at me, one of your arms might fall off? I mean, for real. So, when you're a gang member and you're in the neighborhood and more than one person turn on you, it'll be like a domino effect. You might have to fight all of them, or you might go up thinking everything is okay and everything. And that, to me, that's abuse. That's domestic violence. That's bullying.
That is
bullying. You know, so these young kids are scared. They're frightened. They don't know if they're going to walk into a situation. If you don't show up at a game meeting, you got to get DP'd. That means everybody got to jump on you. I mean, today, it has never happened to me. But I don't understand how people that are supposed to love you and be a family, and it be over the smallest, minute things. So
Well, you know, because the streets has different standards. None of us that you've heard today are talking not from experience. Believe me, when I was coming up, that's before Crips and Bloods even started. There weren't even gangs when I was a kid until 1969 when they started feuding. I mean, I grew up in gangs and had that lifestyle. Fortunately for me, and I was down with my hood. I will say that. And I'm still down with my hood, but I was never gang like affiliated where I'd go and fight the other people. You came in my hood and you would violate the hood, I'm the first one out there. But I wasn't about other neighborhoods and other entities fighting against, because I was just trying to be a part of everybody. I'm just, you know, I was over here doing this and all that. So that was a little different for me. And I'm a PK kid. So I was raised in the church, and my daddy stayed on me. I used to get beat out on the street in front of the gang members, that's one thing my father had, and we were one of the first black families to migrate from Watts to Compton when Compton was still white, and my father had a lot of respect even with the gangs, but they had back then there was people would call you on it, they would get you out there on it. Let me just tell the truth. I was out there banging, my father had given other deacons permission to whoop me when I was 7, 8 years old. Now, as I got 9 and 10 and started thinking I was hard, now it didn't happen anymore. But my father still would do those, you know, would chastise me. But I was given, I had more. And a lot of people don't have that. See, I had a father that was a pastor and demanded respect in the hood. So a lot of times they wouldn't take me. They wanted me to be the brains of the operations, and they would go do the dirty work because of my father. There's a lot of people out there that don't have that. And we as the church, because this is the church on this line, we follow Jesus. We are devoted to Jesus. And the only reason why we're here is to lead you to Jesus. But in the process, we as a church, and I'm talking about me, the church, you, the church. We have to do more to provide. We have to devise programs and get really back into our communities. We have left the community for the buildings. We have left the communities for the conferences. We have left the communities for the money. We need to return back from which we came. If you're in the Southern California area, I tell you right now, come to Sylvia Nunn's Angels, 200 North Long Beach Boulevard, domestic violence counseling, employment training, you name it. If it's not going on there, we'll get it for you there. And then there's Minister Carolyn. We're going to open up some other things that from this broadcast. And I want to say this before we take to the next level. If you are in a state and you want to be put on my directory for a call to number in your state, when people say, well, I live in Atlanta, I need to know I could call you. If I live in Chicago, I know I need to call you. If you live in Wisconsin, I know I can. Your number is available. I need some numbers because I know it's about to come like a rushing wind, people that need help. And I need to be able to send them to people I trust that will do the same thing I would, put yourself in their predicament and help to get them out of the predicament. That's another little side note. Minister Carolyn, you still there?
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
Okay. I want to open the line. Apostle Dwayne is still on the line. I muted him, but I want to bring in Minister Rashad. Oh, from our Wednesday episode of the Now Network News at 6, 8, and 9, the master of the Money Minute. Minister Rashad, welcome to Real Talk.
God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my sisters. I didn't even know that you knew I was on the line. I'm just trying to lay back here incognito, be quiet and be silent and just listen and learn and keep these people in prayer. And you called me out to the carpet, brother. So,
you dial one.
Technology. Technology is all I can say. Ain't no sliding in, you know. The eyes of God are upon you, everything you do. Praise the Lord. But I'm so... it's just listening to the sisters and what they've dealt with. You know, this is the woman of God, and our men have lost the true essence of the mother of earth. See, when you find no good men, you have no good men because they were made by the woman that didn't get a chance to really cultivate in the right way, and it's not their fault because they were only doing what they were taught. And so we have to get back to where we're grooming our young women from age 5, 7, 9, 11, 14, 16. Don't let them put on lip gloss. Don't let them put on the lipstick and all the other things they want to do, because we got to, you know, our children want to grow up so fast. And after they feel like we reject them, then they reach out for other people to accept them. And this is where the gangs sometimes come in, either for the protection, the acceptance, and we're all searching for love. And I say that the first thing we have to learn and get back to is learn to love ourselves. That's what I really wanted to mention to that young lady that came on. Learn to love yourself, because when you don't love yourself, you know, it's okay for other people to disrespect you. It's okay to let your guard down. It's okay to, you know, just go with the flow. But when you love yourself, you'll think a little bit more consciously about your choices. And I know it's challenging to make those, but you always got to anchor in that I always can make a decision. It may not be pretty, it may not be popular, and I know the apostle talked about that earlier, about, you know, women, you know, because they are the weaker sex, that, you know, it's hard sometimes for them to just pull away from the security and from the masculinity and from the other things and the kids that psychologically bind them and hold them in that position. And so, it makes me feel like, you know, back in the day or even today, you know, when you have a challenge, you should be able to call a friend or a family member and explain what's going on, and we should be able to open up our doors. And, Pastor, I'm going to keep it real. I know that most people, if I call family today, they're not opening the door. They might not even answer the phone. And
come on,
we have gotten so distraught with our family, just in our family and our roots, that now it's like we're hearing them on the phone. Like, even for myself, you know, he sticks closer to me than a brother. She sticks closer to me than my real sister. Blood is not thicker than water. It's getting to the point where people are saying that this friend that I've had for 20 years is stronger in my relationship than my own natural born sister, my own natural born brother. And that is the work of the enemy. That's what this is all the work of the enemy. And so we have to remember that we always have a choice. sisters always got a choice. And it may not be popular, it may not be cool, but get around those other people, find them, resource them, take a moment to think, and then comes the courage. And that's where that prayer comes in. It comes to the courage that I'm stopping it, enough is enough. I may have to move to Kansas, Wisconsin, I may have to go to Connecticut, I may have to go to Rhode Island, I may have to go somewhere far to get away from these people, away from the situation, because if I stay there, it could cost me my life.
That, man, you just hit it there.
Precious.
You just hit it right there. That is
precious.
It requires.
So it's not a popular choice, just like when Jesus got on the cross. It wasn't a popular choice, but he did it because he knew the sacrifice of what he was doing and that he'd come back from it, and it was going to do to wash away the sins.
That's right.
Of mankind.
Well, I'd say
this. So my sisters, I'm keeping them in prayer. And I hope that they continue to find other strong, reborn again sisters like Sister Carolyn to continue to gravitate towards it. She comes in like a tidal wave, like a tsunami, and just begins to spread as much as she can and be able to usher in. You know, it takes a lot of bravery. I'm excited for them. I mean, it takes a lot of bravery. Like she said, when you go on the streets and you start pulling people out of their trap houses, you pull them off the streets, you're messing with people's money. And, you know, that's very dangerous.
Oh, and they're going to add
it.
No, and they're going to tell you to leave. Hey, and they're going to tell you to leave. Do you guys remember the story of the spirits that jumped into the pigs? The pigs jumped off the edge because they didn't want the spirits in them. What was the first thing the people said? They didn't thank God for healing the man. They told him to leave. Why did they tell him to leave? Because he just threw their money off the edge. People going to tell you to leave. They're going to make you get away from their areas, their communities, when you are trying to take away from their money. And if you've been in the hood, you know how it runs in the hood. Don't mess with my money. That's not the word. But don't mess with my money. Thank you so much, man of God. I threw you under the bus, and you rose like a lion. Thank you so much, man of God.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my sisters. And thank you for allowing me to be here today.
Minister Terry, welcome to Real Talk with Pastor E with myself and Minister Carolyn.
Good morning. Good morning, family. I've been listening to you all, listening to all the testimony of the young lady, all the apostles and ministers on board, I tell you, Pastor E, Minister Carolyn. And I was just thanking God that he's opening the door to Minister Carolyn to expand her ministry because, like you guys said, she's going out there on streets, and that's where it's needed to get people back to know that God loves them. Because I know in 1980, I was domestically violated because I thought I was doing something in the baller life with someone, and that's not love. Anytime a woman or a man is beat on, that is not love. But like for the young lady, we have to get out in anyone. You have to get out now. You have to get help because there's help available. And I thank God, Pastor E, you have shared to call in the P2P ministry hotline because there is a way. God has, he makes a way. You got to just believe. And going back, you know, born and raised in Compton, we cannot be a product of our environment. Hallelujah, Jesus, because I tell you, I was born and raised in Compton and the gangbangers and everything, but I didn't gangbang, I didn't retaliate, but I got onto the wrong track with this baller life, thinking all these material things, that was it. Because, you know, when you're young, you don't know. But then I thank God I had my parents that kept me right, you know, that brought me back down to level. But anytime a woman or a man is abused, get out now. And once you get out, ooh, I tell you, you got to forgive. And when you forgive others of what harm they've done to you, it is not for them, but it's for you, you and God and your relationship with him. And you cannot retaliate because the wrath is the Lord. The wrath is God. Pray and get out of that situation and forgive. And forgive them for what they have done. So the Heavenly Father, I know I had to forgive and I had to work on my unforgiveness because that unforgiveness will eat you up inside. And I heard Apostle said, you know, and Minister Carolyn, when you're in a household and you see this domestic violence going on, if a young child sees mommy and daddy getting beat, yeah, they're going to think that's acceptable. That's the way it's supposed to be done. No, it's not. So we have to make sure we're breaking the chain, break all the chains, because domestic violence, as I speak and we're speaking on this line, it happens every 9 seconds somewhere. Somebody is being physically abused, emotionally abused, being deprived of food, and, you know, just put out the house, locked out the house, which they called their own. You know, so we have to realize this, but we have to wake up. We have to wake up in our mind and look and see. We can see it coming ahead of time. We can know. And we have to, as women and men, we have to stop picking and choosing. We like Minister Rashad said, we have choices, but we have to stop choosing. Sometimes we go through a pattern. We choose the same kind of man, or the man choose the same kind of lady, and you're doing it all wrong. If the Lord haven't sent it to you, who? Jesus, be on your own. Hallelujah, I tell you. I thank God for his word and his wisdom, for opening my eyes and my mind, clearing my mind to have a clear path. You know, oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I said to the young lady, too, I pray for her. I pray for healing for her, and I pray for the strength and the courage that she, you know, changes up. Sometimes we got to change the people, our circle.
That's right.
The people who's around us. You got to have people that love you, people that want to elevate you. You can't be around people that's going to harm you. In Jesus' name, those are my prayers.
And I have to say this right now. If you are out there and you're in a drastic situation, it requires drastic measures to change a drastic situation. You cannot just go from situation to situation. But that's where we have to do better. I don't know why it's just all falling back on the church, who is me, the church, who is you, that we can do better. This is not going to just be an October celebration. We are going to make this here on this network. We are going to make this a weekly message for safety and for support, that we can, that there's a someone to listen, someone to share, someone to you know, someone to be there and to support in everything that we could be growing through. I want all of us, I'm going to be throwing these words out there. I want us to be praying for courage. Courage is the wisdom to act in spite of fear. And most people stay in situations because of fear. We want to, remember I said before, you cannot just cold turkey anything. If you are living in fear, you have to remove fear and now replace it with something else. We are praying right now in the mighty name of Jesus that for the substitute of fear, courage is now the additive that is dropped in people's spirits, that they have the courage, the wisdom to act, even though they're in a fearful situation, not to retaliate, but to get out. Oh, my God, thank you for the courage that has been dispersed right now by the blood that was shed on Calvary, and by us believing that he was hung, he was buried, and he got up, that we could seek those things which are in heaven, which aren't on earth. Courage in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much, Minister Terry. I'm on one, y'all. I'm telling you, there's certain things that we have to deposit into the people that are going to be coming to us. Some people don't even know that most of us need to build a heresy of success. What is a heresy of success? Meaning, number one, you have to learn, this is for you out there, young man, young woman, the abuser and the victim and the abuser. You first must get peace of mind. Peace of mind. You must now identify health and energy so you can now develop loving relationships. That those relationships that you build because of love and not greed, you will now find financial freedom because you set worthy goals. And now you're about personal achievement, not gang achievement, not people achievement, not building achievement, but self achievement, that you can do great things through Christ. It can be done when we change the opposite with the positive and take the negativity away and put in the essence of love, that people can really see that we're here not just to talk or get ratings or get our name on a plaque or anything. We are here to help. This is why I'm here, and this network is to help and to be available. Pastor Dwayne Collins out of Madison, Wisconsin, welcome to Real Talk with Pastor E. And Minister Carolyn.
Praise the Lord. First of all, I want to Pastor Carolyn, I want to give I'm trying to say accolade. You know, I want to congratulate her on an awesome job that she's doing. What she does, she don't let herself be glorified. She let God be glorified. You know, and I want to thank her for an awesome job that she's doing. But I want to piggyback on what the young lady said. You know, and the key thing that what the Holy Ghost got me to focusing on.
Well,
she said
Pastor Dwayne,
before you go,
I want to just kind of hit on your credentials a little bit. Pastor Dwayne lives in Madison, Wisconsin, but Pastor Dwayne is from
Chicago, Illinois, West Side.
Thank you.
West Side.
Quick, don't throw it up.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. We got Apostle Dwayne on here. I don't know what side he was from. Y'all don't start throwing up on here.
I was from out of Chicago. I was gang affiliated. I was in and out of prison. I was in and out of drug abuse, drug violence, domestic abuse. That was 101 of me, you know. But God has delivered set me, you know, father of what you say, codependence. That was a codependence of my lifestyle. Now I'm codependent on Jesus Christ. So everything been flipped in God's, in Jesus' name, you know. And the young lady said something that as the body of Christ, we got to pay attention. Because our word, it's our word. If we say we're going to do something, we got to do it. Why? Because they are looking, they dependent on our word. God said he have never forsaken us, he have never left us. He's always there. His word is not going to perish. His word is going to be until he come back. And once he leave, his word going to. And so that's what we have to do. If we're going to say if we're going to give him our word, we got to stand on our word, because that's what the gang members do. That's what the abusers do. That's what the drug dealer do. You know, that's what the prostitutes and the pimps out there, that's what they do. They're kind of like based on their word, because they say, you know, they give you this love. They give you this love message. But we have to, as the body of Christ, we got to stay on our word, because our word is important. If we say we're going to help them and get out of current situations, we got to help them get out of current situations. You know, we got to go down, just like I said, for this gospel. You all over the world for this gospel to pull people out of their mess. And it's the same thing. We got to go into that house. You know, it's not saying it's not our business, but you invite us into it. So we got to go into that house. We got to be able to pull that brother. We got to be able to pull that sister out of there. Just can't talk about it. When they come to us and say, well, I'm in a domestic abuse situation, you know, why they go back? Because like she said, there's nowhere to go. So
nowhere
we don't pull them
That's
out.
Right.
We got to stand firm. But we stand firm in what we believe in. We got to stand firm in what we're going to bring people out. She said the key thing. And she said, it's the words. You know, we say we're going to do this, but 2 days later, they don't hear from us. We don't show the love. We don't call them. We don't go check on them. We don't go do none of that. We say, well, call us. Or well, they could have did. No, it's our business. If we change and make things different, we got to get down in the gutter, man. Just like I preach this word, I go down on State Street. You know, I know a lot of guys are still selling dope. That don't mean I got to be a dope dealer. No, I go around them and say, man, it's a better way for this. Because your word, they see you, your word changes them. Man, I remember he used to be like this. He's no longer like this. Just like Pastor Kara said, she used to be in an abusive situation. But now they run into her. Why? Because God changed her mind. She's not going in with a fist up. She's going up with the saying, don't touch.
With her Bible up. With her Bible up. Yeah, that's right.
That's what I'm saying.
Throwing that Bible
so
up now.
Throwing that Bible. So that's what winning them over. That's why she's getting coming to her. That's why she's getting folks crying out to her. Why? Because she wrote a book on it. She got a t-shirt. But yet she's bringing folks to understand it. It's a better way. You don't have to be like this. You don't have to be caught up in this. You don't have to be beat up. You don't have to, because love don't put hickeys upside your head. Love don't give you black eyes. Love don't put you in intensive care. You know, that's not love. That's not love. That's what you call control issue. That's the spirit of the devil. That's spirit of principality. You know, because what he want to do, he want to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he want to do. You know, but we bring life. How we bring life? Because we believe. When we say we got you, we got you. We gonna show up. We gonna go to your appointments. We gonna try to find a better. So you go, kids don't have to go back into that infested environment. So we're going to try to find ways. Why? Because the body of Christ got action if we use it right. They don't have to go to no place where they don't love them. They get them in there for, what, 2 months, and all of a sudden they throw them in the street. And what have they got to go do now? They got to go back to find the same talent that they was in. No, we got connection. We just got to put it together in righteousness. We just got to quit because the church has a lot of members. It's a lot of stuff in the church. But what happens? We get caught up in glory. We get caught up in the money. We want to buy these big mansions and all these fancy cars. For what? You're not gonna take that stuff with you. Why don't we take that money and get a Christian organization where they got and mans that get abused, but at the same time teach the word how not to be bruised, or how not to be a drug addict, how not to be, you know, all this old ungodly stuff. And so we have it, but we just got to put it together. Like mine is like you, my sir, my brother, and my apostle. Like mine and like you. This thing together. And you showing
Amen.
Us how to be like mine. You showing us how to be like mine. So that's what I want to say before I run my wife over here to get these stitches took out of her feet.
Oh, yeah, get them stitches up out that healed woman of God's foot, please.
Yeah,
get her back. Get her back. Yeah, get her back. All the way back in the flow. Amen. Well, God bless you, man of God. I wanted to, before you hang up though. But hold on, Apostle Dwayne. This is Pastor. Apostle Dwayne. This is, and you guys don't spell your names the same. Apostle Dwayne is D-U-A-N-E, and Pastor Dwayne is D-W. You know how to spell it. Wanted to let you guys give a shout out since you're both from Chicago and have a story. We're going to connect you guys later anyway.
All righty. Yeah, because I've been, I heard the man of God when he be on there with y'all talking. You know, awesome man of God. And when I got the chance to hear his testimony, I'm like, man, he's talking about me. That's the first night I had to jump on the show because I'm like, man, he's talking about me, man. You know, that's how our lifestyle used to be. But look at God, though, man. I tell you this all the time, Apostle. It's God's divine adventure. God's divine adventure. Why? Because greater things are going to come out of you, man. Greater things are going to come out of this ministry. Greater things are going to come out. Why? Because you're bringing people together to be like-minded. So God can trust us. God can trust us. That billionaire, because there's a billionaire I'll be listening to the show, trying to figure out where he's just trying to figure out how you want to say. He's just trying to figure out the plan. So there's a billionaire listening to the show. Why? Because God is bringing the money back. God is bringing the ring back to the church. He's looking for the right bunch. He's not looking for these hungry hounds. You know, if you read in the paper nowadays, there's a lot of people on for what? Fraud money. But God want to bring back into the church. Why? Because he's tired of his kids getting hurt. He's tired of his kids getting manipulated. He's tired of his kids just being like they don't matter. No, God matters to everything. So you bringing people back like minds together. I'm telling you, Apostle, don't take it for
No, listen. I'm telling you, I'm just sending credit because it's gonna take a billionaire for us to get these facilities and these homes and these neighborhoods back in order. It's gonna take some money. It will take some money from all of us. That $1 billion can drop in everybody's lap, that as long as we're going to help these people out there. God bless you, man of God. Go ahead and take her to an appointment, and I'll talk to you guys this afternoon.
All right. God bless y'all. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. God bless. Minister Carolyn, come on back in. Hello? Minister Carolyn, Anyway, we want to give everybody else, if there's someone else that would like to get on the conversation, go ahead and dial one. We'll bring you into the discussion right now. You may have a story that you now are in the glory. Come on, tell somebody that with God, it's possible. With God, can be saved. I hear you. And with God, he will deliver you. Come on back. How are you? I know God has really said some great things, and we have an hour show, but we're in an hour and 20 minutes right now. No one else is dialing one. But we want to make the announcement. We are going to have part two next week. I'm reaching out to some men that have been abused to come and get on board. I'm reaching out to some men to get on board and tell your story that it's not just one side. It happens both ways. But the biggest number is men putting their hands on women, which is totally acceptable. We must fight that battle. Let's start in prayer, praying for courage for people to get out, but also praying for love, that people will stop abusing, stop hurting, and stop hating other people. Minister Carolyn, any closing remarks or any shout outs you want to share that we might have coming for next week?
I just want to thank the Lord. Next week, I'm going to try to have more women step up to the plate, as well as reach out to men, because I was blessed that the men came on and told their stories. I just want everyone to know that help is here if they want it. I want to reach more young. Well, I want us as a unit. We remember, get out of the eye.
That's right.
As a unit to get out here, and I go inside of the trenches, and also I speak in prisons, inside of prisons. There's a lot of gang members there. So this is real powerful for me, because I know the next time I go into the prison to speak on domestic violence, because a lot of those women are so hurt. A lot of them have been beat up and battered, and then they go into prison and they beat people up, and they do more in there. So it might, really work inside of them, make some of them think, and bring some of them on home to the Lord too. So I'm really serious about this. It touched home with this young lady for me, and I want us as a unit, like I said.
Well, it's gonna take a unit.
Keep our eyes and ears open. Right, praise God.
Yeah, it's gonna require all of us to step up to the plate. This is just not, let's support Minister Carolyn. Oh, she's doing such a great job. Look at God move through her.
Right.
No, look at God move through us. This is going to take a generated effect from throughout the nation. I'm talking to all my covenant partners. Step up. Give me your number. Say, man, yeah, you put me down, bro. Put me down. And if you don't have a second number, as I do, go get a Google number for free. If you got a Google email, call me. I'll show you how to do it. You can get a free number that people can call that number. It'll ring on your phone, and you can answer that and talk to people, take voicemails and all that stuff, that you don't have to give out your personal number. But do something. Get in touch with me. I'll help you. And, yes, we are about to do the technology seminar to talk about phones and prayer lines and how you can start up and how you can learn a computer and your phone that you spent $900 on, that all you can do is make calls and texts. We're going to help you to use that phone completely for what you have. Well, I'm telling you, people got iPhone 10s and can't even use them. I'm going to leave that one alone. But, yes, Minister Carolyn, go ahead and give out your number again, your hotline number. I want to share our hotline number again. We got some local events going on. I want to share with you out there, so don't hang up. There are some dynamic stuff going on in the city of Compton today that we're a part of. We want you guys to come out and be blessed also. Go ahead, Minister Carolyn.
All right.
I heard somebody say Pastor Carolyn. Where'd that come from?
Right.
I heard that.
Right, I heard them too. Okay, my number is area code 323-830-2161. That's 323-830-2161.
Amen. If I could get Minister Terry to post these numbers on the event page with Real Talk with Pastor E, that they can get out there in case someone didn't write down the right number and you need to get in touch with one of us. P2P Hotline, 562-413-3710. P2P Hotline, 562-413-3710. If you don't get answered, you will get a live call back immediately. I guarantee it. Today, if you are in the Southern California area, we have a couple of events going on each week at 12 o'clock to from 12 to 1, 1:30 at Sylvia Nun's Angels is a free food giveaway. Every Saturday, we go pick the food up. That's one of our donations to that ministry and make sure the food is there. But there's food available today at, from 12 to 1, 1:30 at 200 North Long Beach Boulevard, Compton, California, 90221. Also, today we are having the 5th annual Unity in the Community at Wilson Park, 123 North Rose Avenue. That's right off of Alameda and Compton Boulevard in the city of Compton. We've got vendors out there, entertainment, food, games, unwrapped toys, gift cards. They're going to have some classic car clubs out there giving away trophies. Volunteers are already on board. If you want to get involved with that and volunteer, just come out. Look for me. Look for Jackie Venners. And we'll get you where you can help out. They need cleanup crew. They need prayer warriors. You just want to come out and enjoy the community in Compton. Compton is a brighter city in this day. That is the Inner City Child Development and Youth Foundation, 5th annual Unity in the Community at 123 North Rose Avenue, Compton, California, right off of Alameda and Compton Boulevard. You can't miss it. But if you can't, send me a message. I will get you out there, and you'll see me going live several times today at that event and at Sylvia Nun's, which I'm there every Saturday at Sylvia Nun's. That's one of our covenant ministries that we partner with, and we'll be there today, and we're going to shoot over to the park and be giving away food there also. So come on out, Sylvia Nun's Angels, 200 North Long Beach Boulevard, 90221, or come out to the Unity in the Community at Wilson Park. That is 123 North Rose Avenue, not Rose Street, Rose Avenue, Compton, California, 90221. God bless you, family. I want to see, I see Apostle is still here. Give Apostle Dwayne an opportunity to give any closing remarks. You may want to pray for us today or just give that shout out. What's up, my brother? Are you still there? Amen. He's still there, but I know I told you he's multitasking. We just thank for the support. But we also want to give everybody an opportunity to share what's going on in your ministry. And if somebody in your city saying, wait a minute, I didn't know. I was talking to somebody that was right down the street from where I was and I could have got some help. We're going to make that available. We are going to start building that network starting today. We have several numbers already in our network. We want to grow that so we can reach you in your city, in your town. No matter what state it is in the United States. God bless you, family. You are loved. You are honored. You are appreciated. But most of all, I need you to know this. You were beautifully made by God. God created you. He called your name before the foundation of the world. He said he knew you. Start acting like it. And anything that is contrary to that word of life, get it out. Remove it. Resist it. And it will flee. God bless you, family. I love you.
Family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.